Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name again, and we know that when we come together like this, we do so with a whole week's worth of difficulties, problems, decisions, various things happening in our lives on our shoulders. But we pray that you will help us to put them aside, give us the grace to do so, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to see what you are saying to us and to see something again of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray for your blessing on us as we study your word, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry about noon, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meat was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So what we've got here is a little picture of how God begins to prepare the Apostle Peter for a new step in his life and a new step in the life of the gospel. Now remember, this gospel has still got to go out into the world. It's got to cross the barriers. It's got to reach Chinese and Japanese and Eskimos and the different African countries of Africa. It's got to reach all the peoples of America and Australia. It's got to reach the whole world. But it hasn't even got out of the Jewish little circle yet. So how's it going to do that? Well, we start off with the Roman Gentiles, the centurions. So what we've got here is, first of all, God preparing Peter for what was going to happen. And we have this amazing picture of Peter dozing off in the midday sun and having a dream or a vision. And in this dream, Peter sees a sheet coming down from heaven, and it's filled with all kinds of animals. And it says that the sheet was being let down by its four corners, contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds of the air. Now, these were unclean things. Jewish people didn't eat reptiles and things like that. And God says to him, "Now, Peter, you're hungry. Kill one of these, cook it and eat it." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. Not me. I don't do that. Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And this thing happened three times for him. Then the voice says to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happened three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. That's in verse 16. So Peter has this amazing experience, this dream, that what God calls clean, don't you call unclean. That's how it was with the Jews. They were an impossible people. You could not break through into Judaism because of their laws and rules and their stubbornness and their absolute belief that God had given a law only for them and no one else. And the life-giving law that God had given was meant for the whole world. In fact, when you understand the Old Testament, then you understand that God had given his law to the Jewish people to proclaim to the nations of the world so they could all come into a covenant with God. But no, they said, it's our law. Now, we come to verses 17 to 23, and this is what it says. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. But Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? And the men replied, We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to make you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Now, Peter's response, first of all, to this vision that he had, is one of absolute perplexity. He is confused. He has never thought that God would have anything to do with Greek people or Roman people or centurions or anyone like that. And so we read that while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, he was thinking about it, contemplating and thinking, what could this mean? What is God doing here? Is he telling me that there are some people that we would think are unclean who are clean? And please remember that the clean and unclean is not to be dirty and or washed. It's a ritual thing. It's to do with coming to worship. So why are some people acceptable to worship and some not? And Peter said, well, it's only Jewish people who can come to worship. So what's this all about? So he's perplexed. But at the end of the day, they come to the gate. And when they come to the gate, they called out the people who were coming from Cornelius' home in verse 18, called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, he's completely taken aback by this. He's thinking about the vision. The Holy Spirit says to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Now, that's an amazing thing to get from the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us like that today. Not normally, anyway. Peter had no Bible, you must remember that. He never had a New Testament like you've got and I've got. He only had the Old Testament. He never understood the full meaning of the crucifixion of Jesus. He didn't understand it all. So you must remember that the apostles, at this point in the story, were all learning themselves as they went along, what it was all about. But Peter went down to the men because the Holy Spirit told him to, and he says, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? And the men replied, We have come, this is verse 22, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. Now, Peter, before you blow your top, let me tell you this, says the spokesman. He is a righteous man. Wow, that must have been something for Peter to take in, for a Gentile. Righteous Gentile? He's a God-fearing man. Okay, I understand what God-fearers are. He's respected by all the Jewish people. Wow, that's unusual. That a Roman centurion who's there to keep the Roman law and order would be respected by all the Jewish people because of his righteous life. And furthermore, a holy angel told him to make you come. Holy angels? But that's part of Jewish history, not Gentile history. No, you're wrong, Peter. He said, all peoples in the world belong to God anyway, and he'll send his messengers wherever he wants to. And what did the angel tell Cornelius? He did not tell Cornelius what to believe. He did not tell Cornelius about Jesus. He did not tell Cornelius about the cross. He told Cornelius to send men to your house so that he, Cornelius, could hear what you have to say. You're the one who's got to come and tell us what the gospel is, not the angels. Now, all of this stuff was very strange to Peter, but is now ringing true because of the vision that he had on the rooftop. So God often prepares us for the changes that take place in our lives. You see that? Sometimes there are big changes that take place, and we think, wow, this came out of left field. Why is this happening to me now? When you look back, you'll see that very often God begins to prepare us for the changes that take place. And if he doesn't prepare us and the change takes place, suddenly he gives us the grace to bear that change. And he puts his great arms underneath us so we can bear the change. And so Peter is told that he's got to go to the house of Cornelius, the centurion, who's not part of the Jewish family, and he's got to tell him the good news. He's got to tell him what Jesus did for him. Now, all this is very, very new. But look at verse 23. This is where the big change comes. Peter, who said, I never go into a Gentile's home. Peter, who said, I don't mix with the Gentiles. Peter, who said, not so, Lord. Surely not, Lord. Not me. I don't eat this kind of food. Here he says he invites the men into the house to be his guests. So here is a very great change in Peter's life. For the first time in his Jewish life, he's inviting non-Jewish people to come into his home to be his guests. So there already you've got the indication of the beginning of the breaking down of the barriers. Do you see? So here, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing, breaking down the barriers between people, because the message by which we are all saved is the same message. You may have a different background or different family history to me, but if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you are saved by the same Savior. And we're all going to the same heaven. And we're all part of the same great family. And Peter is only beginning to understand this now. And so he says, come into this home. Because it's his friend's home, but it's his home for a few days. So he says, come into my home and be my guests. And so they came into his home and be his guests. So that's Peter's response. Now the next thing is we see what happens between Peter and Cornelius. Now in verse 23, but it's the second half of the verse, says, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. So Peter goes along, but not by himself. And the following day, verse 24, he arrives in Caesarea, because that is where Cornelius lives. That's the center of the Roman government's administration for that area. And Cornelius was expecting them. And Cornelius had called together his relatives and his close friends. So here comes Peter with his little group of friends, and he's met by a whole congregation of people in Cornelius' house, much bigger than the people that he brought with him. And as Peter entered the house in verse 25, Cornelius met him. He'd never entered into a Gentile house before. And now he enters the house in verse 25. And Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter won't allow it. Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. It's not me that you must worship. What is this all about? He wants to know. So talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. You know me, you know I'm a Jew, and you know what our laws are. You've invited me, and here I am because God has shown me that I've been wrong. I must not call any man impure or unclean, or any person impure or unclean. Now, that's my background. God has shown that to me. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection, because God had prepared me for this. If God hadn't prepared me, I would not have come. But God prepared me for it. So may I ask you why you sent for me? Now in verse 30, Cornelius answers, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. And suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Now listen to the way this man is speaking. I've got my whole family together. We have no clue why all this is happening. This is a supernaturally organized meeting. We didn't just organize it ourselves. God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. God spoke to you, Peter, through a vision. God has sent you here at my request. Now we are all here. Here's all my family. We are all Gentiles. You are in our home, which you would never have normally have been. Now we are all sitting here to hear. What have you got to say to us? It's quite an amazing experience for Cornelius and quite an amazing experience for Peter. So Cornelius gives his explanation. He says, I want to know what you say, and I want to know what God has commanded you to say. And now everything's been prepared by the mighty sovereign God. So come on, Peter, speak up. It's up to you. So verse 34, Peter begins to speak, and this is what he says. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Isn't that a great way to start a sermon? I now realize it, says Peter. You know, I never realized it before. I thought that he only accepted righteous Jews. But I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. It's in our hearts to show favoritism, not God. We're the ones who draw the barriers, not God. But I now see how wrong that is, says Peter. And God accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right. This is the message God sent to the people of Israel. I can only tell you what I know as a Jew, says Peter. And this is the message God sent to Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. God has made a way for us to have peace with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. Now he says to them, you know, all of you in this room, you know, and he appeals to their general knowledge of what happened in the area. He says, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Everybody had heard about John the Baptist. Everybody had heard about what happened in Jerusalem and about the crucifixion of Jesus. And you heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And what did Jesus do with his life? How he went around doing good. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say about our Savior? Can you think of the leader or the founder of any other religion that can be said about? But the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. And how amazing that people should blaspheme his name today and misrepresent him today. When you read the Gospels, which is the only evidence we have of what Jesus did, except for a few outside sources which corroborate the Gospels, he went about doing good. And he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter is very wise here, he stood up against the evil one, the devil. Now, Gentile people would have understood all about the devil and evil spirits and things like that. They would have understood the powers of evil. And here was one who went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And why? Because God was with him. God was his Father. He came from God. And we, says Peter, are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. We know, because we were with him for 3 years. And we saw what he did. We saw the healings. We saw him touch lepers. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him cast out evil spirits. We saw him heal the blind. We saw him argue with the Pharisees and the hypocrites of the Jewish religion. There's nothing wrong with the Jewish religion. It was the leadership that had twisted all the truths. In all of our churches, we get these hypocrites, and we saw Jesus deal with them. We are witnesses, he said. And then he says, they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Now, hanging on a tree was a kind of a slang way of speaking about dying on the cross. The cross was called a tree because the wood came from trees. And so when people were crucified, then the general population would say, oh, he was hung on a tree. And so they killed him. Who killed him? The Jewish people amongst whom he went doing good. The ones whom he showed the love of God. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But listen, he says to Cornelius, here's the great thing. It's something even we don't understand. God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. And he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, as the apostles, and by me, says Peter. And we ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So the message to you is, I've come to tell you about a Savior who died on the cross and is alive today and has risen from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and of the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What did this risen Savior want me to say to you? He wants me to tell you that God is the judge of the living and of the dead. God is a judge, and you are under judgment. You're all going to be judged. But that's the message of the gospel. And then he says, but he's not only a judge, all the prophets testify, all of our Old Testament scriptures, all the Jewish scriptures testify about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, when he talks about forgiveness of sins, he's pressing the button, because that's what we all want. We all want to know that we're okay for eternity. We all want to know that. Instinctively, we want to know that all is well between us and God. And that's why so many people are depressed and so many people don't get things right, because they think they're going to get right with God by doing more and more church stuff and all that. But it's to believe in the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and paid the price, he paid, made the sacrifice for all our sins, so that if we believe in him, everything is paid for and he becomes our Savior and you are forgiven. Now, an amazing thing happens. And this whole thing is supernatural. And if you don't understand that the Christian faith is a supernatural faith, then you won't get it. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Is while the preacher was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon all the people in the church. Now, in this case, it says, the circumcised believers, that is the Jewish people who came with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. What? God is giving salvation to the Gentiles? They were astonished, because the Jewish people did not know that God loved all people. They did not know that. And they are discovering it now. The gospel is breaking through into a Gentile situation. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The word tongues is languages. This goes back to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and tongues were given to all the people who were listening to the apostles in the Jerusalem, and 3,000 were converted. And it was a sign, an indication, that the gospel was for all people. That is why it's called languages. You must remember that the Greek word for tongues is languages. That is why in Acts chapter 2, the people said, we hear the wonderful works of God spoken in our language. That's what they heard. And so now, here we have it again in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit is poured out as a sign that he's come into the lives of these Gentile believers, just like he came into the lives of the Jewish believers, and he gives them the same gift, and that is the ability to share the gospel with other people through the gift of tongues. And so they were praising God. And then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Now, let me just ask you this question. Why do you think Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? Do you think that the water made any difference to their salvation? No. The Lord Jesus instituted baptism as a sign of being cleansed in our hearts. Water washes you. It cleanses you. And so as a sign that they were being cleansed, and so they could join the other Christians that were now being added to the church. Peter says they should be baptized. And then it ends up by saying that they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And why do you think he did that? Well, they knew Christians. They never heard this before. They didn't know this was going to happen. What was happening to me, Peter? I didn't know what was going on. I felt a strange power come upon me. I felt new inside. I felt joy. I felt my sins forgiven. I heard myself speaking in strange languages. Peter, tell us, what does this mean? And he needed a few days so that he could mentor them and explain to them what was happening and what the death of Jesus really means. Do you see that? And the reason why many of us go astray after we have been converted is because we don't have people to sit and talk to us and explain to us what is going on. And that's what you should be doing, I should be doing, if we know enough. We should be looking for these people who are struggling and say, look, sit down, let me explain to you about Jesus of Nazareth. Did you know that he was a good man who went around doing good? And did you know that in spite of that he was killed on the cross? And did you know that he rose again? And did you know that because of his resurrection, God has appointed a day to judge the world, but he's also offered forgiveness for all who come to him and put their faith and trust in him? And so Peter had to mentor them. So Peter and his friends stayed with him for a few days to mentor them. First of all, this passage, chapter 10 of Acts, is a turning point in the gospel's progress. In other words, what we've got before us is a story of how the gospel is beginning to break down barriers. And the first barrier it breaks down is the barrier of the Gentiles. And it welcomes all of those into the Christian community who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28? He says, we are all one in Christ Jesus. One family, one body in Christ Jesus. So through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins are forgiven, all of our divisions are crucified, and for all who put their faith and trust in him, we come together as one body. Now, sometimes because of geography, or sometimes because of language, or sometimes because of other factors, people meet in their own groups. But when we come together, we are one body. We belong to the same Savior. And we all have the same future. Therefore, all prejudices must be dropped. And we must see that we are the messengers of a new age, of a new way of thinking, of a new world philosophy. We now see that borders don't matter. We cross borders with our gospel. We now see that your status in life doesn't matter. We now can tell you that even if you've been a bad person, you can be forgiven. And we now tell you that if you're a good person, you still need to be forgiven. We can tell you all those things now. We can share with you our goods, we can share with you our food, we can share our hospitality with you, because it demonstrates our unity. But above all, we have this one great message, that we are forgiven only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now I hope you all have the Holy Spirit, and by that I don't mean have you spoken in tongues, I mean that you are all truly saved, and that you are doing your best to reach others. And that you pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. So important, Lord, for us to understand that the gospel jumps across all the fences, breaks down the walls, calls in all the people on the margins and the edges, and brings us in and makes us one people, one family. And we praise you and thank you for that. And not only that, but it forgives our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings us to God, our Father in heaven. We pray that we may remember these things. And when we get involved in all the troubles of the day, we pray that you will take our mind back to these things. For these are the great things, greater than all our troubles, that we belong to the one who is the Father in heaven. And so we ask you to bless us and send us away with your blessing, Jesus' sake. Amen.